So I'm going to be presenting about measuring height without a stadiometer, empirical investigation of four height estimates among wheelchair users. And I just want to, well, I guess I need to do my...
Yes.
I have no financial relationships to disclose. As a brief background, I'm really somebody very interested in promoting health through physical activity and reduction, weight control for individuals with disabilities. But I keep bumping into measurement issues as I do my research in this field. And so this measurement issue came out of the fact that we're doing, study is funded out of a randomized exercise trial for wheelchair users funded by NIH. And so it's just a side study. And we really got started with this because when we decided we wanted to measure people's weight, we thought it would be good to look at BMI, and we needed to get their height. And we went to the literature to try and figure out what is the best way to measure height for people who can't stand. And what we found was that there was really no good guidance. There have been some studies in this area, but not much. Unlike in other areas, there's been quite a bit of research done for older adults and other special populations, like hospitalized patients. So really obtaining an accurate height estimate is important for a variety of health issues, including calculating BMI, pulmonary function, or calculating body surface for drug dosages or renal clearances. And while several researchers have assessed whether different approaches to estimate height by measuring upper and lower limbs, there is yet no criterion standard to measure or estimate height for those who cannot stand to be measured without a stadiometer. So the lack of a standardized approach does limit data availability and quality for this population. So the purpose of our study was twofold. One was to determine if various methods for measuring height would yield significantly different height estimates, and two, to determine which method yielded the most accurate height estimates for the population. So our methods for this study, again, this is out of a randomized controlled trial. The trial is called Project Workout on Wheels. We are finishing data collection in January and hope to be presenting on that in coming years. We conducted recruitment via disseminating posters and brochures to healthcare providers and facilities, and advertised in multiple outlets across the greater Kansas City metro area. I've actually recently moved from the University of Kansas to UT School of Public Health just this summer. So this study was conducted in the Kansas City metro area. And we obtained height data from 141 manual and power wheelchair users who enrolled in the exercise trial Project WOW. Eligibility for the larger study included, they had to have a mobility impairment for at least 6 months. They had to be between the ages of 18 and 65. They could not already be physically active, and we needed to obtain a physician consent to exercise. And we excluded people if they had medical conditions contraindicated for exercise, or the presence of cognitive impairment that precluded self-directing their daily activities. For data collection, we collected their height data during their baseline assessment of the exercise lab of the GCRC at the KU Medical Center. We conducted the height assessments using four methods. We obtained self-reports. We got recumbent length, knee height, and arm span, and I'll describe these in more detail in a moment. And we used an anthropometer specifically designed for this study to measure recumbent length and arm span. And this is a picture of the device. At the time we started the study, there was no other device that we could find on the market, and so my husband actually built this for us to use. And it's two A-frames that are attached by bolts and wood planks that you can slide it in and out to measure. I think it goes out to 7 feet. So we obtained two measures for each measurement method, taking a third if the first two were discrepant by more than a quarter inch for the recumbent or arm span measure, or greater than 0.4 centimeters for knee height. And between each measurement, we reset the anthropometer by sliding it together. So obviously, for self-reported, we just asked them when they came in for testing, what's your estimated height in feet and inches? For the recumbent height, we had them transfer from their chair to the mat table where that anthropometer was sitting, and we had them lie down in a supine position on the mat table. And the staff provided assistance for those who could not lay flat or needed help with dorsiflexing their ankles. We were measuring from the top of their head to the end of their feet. Now, I will say that for about 25% of the sample, we truly couldn't get them to lay flat because of contractures or scoliosis or other physical anomalies. For the knee height, participants sat on the mat table with their legs hanging off of the table, and using a goniometer, the tester stabilized their right knee at a 90-degree angle with a fixed blade at the bottom of the heel and a sliding blade on the top, allowing alignment of the caliper with the lower leg bones. And that value was then included in an equation developed by Chumley to estimate height. He published data in 1994 from N. Haynes and using regression equations, and he was saying that these would be good for mobility impaired adults. But as far as I could tell, nobody had used those estimates to see if it was actually a good, an accurate way to estimate height for real individuals with real disabilities, because he used the general population in Haynes that did not have any mobility impairment. And the final measurement method was arm span. For those of you who don't know, arm span is considered to be a good proxy for people's estimated maximal height. And it's actually often used for kids with spina bifida to estimate their height. So the participants remained seated in their wheelchair and they adjusted their shoulder to 98 degrees while they fully extended their elbows. And then the testers were on either side using the anthropometer to see from fingertip to fingertip of their longest finger what that height estimate would be. So the analyses we conducted, we did everything in SCSS and SAS. We did impute missing data using an iterative Bayesian MCMC algorithm in SAS PROC MI with maximum likelihood EM algorithm as the prior estimates for the MCMC algorithm. I have a statistician that's excellent. He worked on the study. He recommended we do this to achieve the maximum sample possible. We conducted separate analyses for men and women due to sex differences in height. We converted all height estimates to centimeters to assure that the estimates were on the same metric. And we then conducted ANOVA with post hoc comparison, pairwise comparisons of the estimated marginal means using bone Fronie adjustments for height and BMI data. We were interested not just in height significantly different, but how might it affect BMI. And then we conducted a two-group confirmatory factor analysis to determine which measure provides the best height estimate. So we had 141 folks who got the height on, about 50% women and 49% men. There were no significant differences between the men and women on age, time of disability, age of onset of the disability, or race. Their average age was 44 years. With a standard deviation of almost 13. Their average time with disability was 22 years, again with a standard deviation of 18. So this is clearly a long-term community-dwelling wheelchair-using sample. The predominant types of etiology of mobility impairment were spinal cord injury, spine bifida, cerebral palsy. We had some folks with MS, amputation. I will say we had two folks who were bilateral amputees. We did eliminate those two folks, and we did not impute their data because they don't have the lower limbs. And then we had a whole variety of other types of impairments. So here's the results. Indeed, let me orient you to the graph. We've got self-reported, recumbent, knee height, and arm span, and this is the men's height estimate. And so you can see there are significant differences across the four. In particular, self-reported height is significantly greater than what we measured for their recumbent, their knee height, and the arm span. Arm span is significantly greater than all. And so that gives you the largest estimate, with self-reported the next largest. Recumbent ends up being the smallest height estimate for men. The same, however, holds true for women. So self-reported height is significantly greater than what we measured their recumbent height to be, and arm span was the greatest. There were not significant differences between, for the women, between self-reported height and knee height. In terms of the BMI values, we also saw, and I'm sorry that the curtain is cutting off the bottom, but these are the same. Self-reported is the red line. The BMI based on self-reported is the red. The BMI based on recumbent is the blue. The BMI based on knee height is the green. And the BMI based on arm span is the purple. So similar to the height estimates, the largest height estimate yields the lowest BMI value. And so there are significant differences between people's BMI value using, for men, BMI value using the self-reported height data versus the recumbent data. And so, you know, with the group of men, we see a difference of what would be a criterion, which is before BMI, 29.7 is still in the overweight but not obese range, where 31 is in the obese range. But this is the average for the men. For women, it's it is similar, but BMI based on self-reported height was not significantly different for the sample from BMI based on recumbent height. We did the CFA to really determine, since there is no gold standard of height for wheelchair users, we did a CFA to look at which of the methods would yield the best estimate, and you can see that recumbent height, indeed, the loadings for recumbent height did indeed yield the highest estimate, whereas self-reported was second, and then knee height and arm span fell below that. So really, in conclusion, in answer to our questions, there were significant differences in height estimates for both men and women using these four measurement methods. For both sexes, arm span yielded the greatest estimate and recumbent the smallest. And self-reported height was significantly greater than measured height. Further, results from the CFA indicated that recumbent height did provide the best estimate of height in this population. Nevertheless, measuring height does require appropriate equipment and can be time and staff intensive to get folks to transfer from their chair to the mat table. Many of the folks in our study were sufficiently independent to do it on their own, but other people did require assistance. And then for those who have either spasticity or contractures, trying to lay them flat can pose some challenges. So therefore, when measuring height is impractical, obtaining height estimates based on knee height or self-reported may be reasonable alternatives.